Detour Death Holler brought us Season 3, Slash or Pass. It became the classic horror film podcast of its time. Now Death Holler brings us the most shocking season ever. Season 4, Dead or Dead.
Yeah, they're dead. They're all messed up.
Imagine, if you will, that one of the hosts is absolutely terrified of zombies.
So, what's the plan? Bash him in the head. That seems to work out.
Now, accept the fact there is no escaping this horror. Death Holler brings back the dead. Remember, when you're in Death Holler, listener discretion is advised. With hospitality like this, you'll never want to leave. We hope you stay alive.
When there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk here.
Everyone, welcome back to Death Holler. I'm your host, the Reverend Dr. Death, and joining me as always is my co-host, La Urena, and we are discussing Day of the Dead from 1985, the darkest day of horror the world has ever known. How's that for a tagline?
It's a no for me. It's just... it's just too long. It's not a too long didn't read, but it's like... Okay, like in this economy right now, we've seen some darkest days too.
Well, also we're in what, the end of daylight savings time, so we're seeing the darkest days of the year.
Literally.
Directed by George A. Romero, written by George A. Romero, music by John Harrison, made for a budget of $3.5 million and made $34 million.
So basically,
that is a good turnaround.
10 times its budget?
10 times its budget.
Yeah.
That's pretty damn good.
Oh, yeah.
didn't blow the doors off, but I mean, you don't really have to. I mean, if you're an independent filmmaker like Romero was at the time. So, principal players, we have Lori Cardill playing Dr. Sarah Bowman, who is a scientist trying to find a way to reverse the zombie process. She was actually in an episode of Stranger Things, I guess, calling back to the fact that she was, you know, in this movie or whatever back in the 80s. We have Terry Alexander playing John, who is the Jamaican pilot in the movie. Jarlath Conroy, who plays Bill McDermott, who is the radio operator slash drunk in the movie. Joe Pilato plays one of the best characters in a Romero movie period, who is Captain Henry Rhodes, or just Captain Rhodes to everyone. And he will not salute a puss bag, just so you know. He won't do it.
Will not.
He was also in... will not. He was in Dawn of the Dead in 1978 in a... You have to watch the extended version because it's like a little intercut scene when they're the main four are trying to get away in the helicopter. When they go to the docks to get in the helicopter and they meet up with the two SWAT team members or whatever for the first time, there's a scene where there is a group of policemen who were trying to also get away, and one of them's a dorky guy that bums for cigarettes, and they all say that they don't have any, and then like two or three of them light up inside the helicopter after that. But you know, Joe Pilato's one of those guys who's trying to get the fuck out of there on a boat, you know, who's a police officer. So some fan theories say that that is Captain Rhodes, but like during the early start of the zombie apocalypse. And then like he went from just being like a civilian police officer to like somebody in the military during the course of the, you know, zombie plague. So
I buy it.
It works. I mean, you can technically say it.
Oh, 100%.
He's also got a scene in Pulp Fiction. So, I mean, amongst other things. So that's pretty cool. We have Anthony DeLeo Jr., who plays Private Miguel Salazar, who is a PTSD simp in the movie. I mean, if he's not being a catty bitch, he's basically just whining otherwise. That's about what he does in this movie. He was actually in The Night of the Dead make in 1990. He played the knife zombie. So there you go. He was in multiple zombie films for Romero projects.
Nice.
Richard Liberty plays Dr. Matthew Logan, who is otherwise known as Frankenstein in the movie. he was in a bunch of different movies back in the day. Flight of the Navigator, Just Cause, The Final Countdown.
Wow.
Romero wanted him in this movie because he was a prolific character actor, and he really stands out in the movie for how just fucking insane Frankenstein is in it. So
yeah.
Sherman Howard plays Bub, who is the world's smartest zombie. There's some debate now because of Land of the Dead, and you have Big Daddy zombie in that movie. I still say Bub because even though Big Daddy uses a gun toward the, I feel like Big Daddy was like the ultimate, I don't know, like it aggravates the shit out of me because there's no rhyme or reason why that zombie in Land of the Dead is as smart as he is. And then he teaches all the other zombies the way that he does. Bub actually learns how to speak in this movie.
Yes.
That line where he says, Aunt Alicia, that fucking freaked me out the first time I heard it. I'm like, why is a fucking zombie speaking? Like, this is fucking insane. So I'm still going to give it to Bub. I think he's still smarter than Big Daddy or whatever, but, you know.
And he salutes.
Romero had to, you know, he does salute, and he knows how to use a gun the right way. I mean, yes. He actually aims it, whereas I think the Big Daddy one just basically sprays with the you know, machine gun.
Mm-hmm.
we have Gary Howard Clark, who plays Private Walter Steele in the movie. He's a real throwback, which means he's hung like a Neanderthal.
Ugh, so dumb. I hated that so much.
I really like Steele in this movie. And it helps the fact that Gary Clark is the nicest man that I have ever met at a convention, period. Hands down. Like it was early on when conventions were before The Walking Dead got out there and made them super expensive and, you know, as bad as they are now. But, like, that man talked to me forever about this movie, and he was happy to do so. And he even gave me free signed, photos because we got to talking, and he was just like, man, I really like you. Here, have this. Aww. And, like, I will never forget that.
That's awesome.
Like, he is fucking awesome. And so every time I see Steele in this movie, knowing how sweet he is in real life as a guy, it's just so weird to see Steele because he's kind of the opposite.
Yeah.
And he knew that. He talked about it when we talked about the movie. But, like, I see him and I'm just like, yeah, there's Gary Clark. I like his character. Ralph Marrero plays Private Robert Rickles, who is basically like the little laughing stooge that kind of follows around Steele everywhere. In fact, his final scene is literally just laughing as he's being torn apart. John Amplis plays Ted Fisher, who's another scientist trying to study the dead. He was actually in Romero's only vampire film, which is that the weird movie Martin that came out like before, in between his Dead films.
Yeah.
And I'm not a fan of Martin. Some people love that movie. I watched it for the first time like last year. The concept is interesting. It's basically the guy's not really a vampire. He's a serial killer or wannabe serial killer that thinks that he likes to drink blood, but like he basically pulls it out in a syringe and then like drinks it that way. It's a weird movie. It's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
And he was also in Dawn of the Dead. He played one of the characters, I think, during the SWAT team scenario, whenever they're like they're rushing in to take the building. He's one of those guys. That movie. He's been in a lot of Romero's movies since then. And then we have Greg Nicotero playing Private Johnson, who is gunned down only to become a head on a slab later on in the movie. Of course, he did the makeup effects for this movie in addition to Tom Savini.
And that's why I recognize his name?
What's that?
I said, is that why I recognize his name, Greg Nicotero? He does makeup or effects?
He's part of K&B Special Effects. There's Nicotero and I can't remember the other guy's names off the top of my head, but I mean, they've done the Evil Dead movies. They did Romero's films working under Savini. Greg Nicotero basically ran the department for The Walking Dead. Like all the major zombie effects are kind of his baby on that. So he grew up in all this stuff. And I mean, you know, this movie is one where he actually starred in it.
Yeah.
He's also in, From Dusk Till Dawn in a scene too, which is really funny. It's him sitting next to Tom Savini, who plays Sex Machine. And Sex Machine basically looks at him and tells him he's talentless or something like that. And it's almost like it was a little, you know, back and forth between, Savini and Nicotero in real life, you know, as characters or whatever, kind of saying, well, you're not as good as me. I'm the master of this shit. So you learned under me, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But... Anyways, synopsis for this movie, sometime on from the events of Night of the Living Dead and Dawn of the Dead, the world is now overrun by zombies. I think they officially placed Land of the Dead somewhere before this movie. This is like the end. Like, Land is somewhere in between.
Okay.
But anyways, a small band of survivors, scientists, civilian contractors, and military search for signs of life among the Florida coastline as they struggle to maintain a hold on their own sanity. Dr. Logan tinkers in his lab of horrors, convinced that he has figured out a way to domesticate the zombies, while Captain Rhodes has gone mad with power and demands answers. Which, I gotta be honest, the more I watch this movie, I kind of agree with Rhodes. I mean, I don't agree with his ways that he goes about stuff, but, like, seriously, like, what the fuck are they doing? Like, when he says that lie, and it's just like, are you going to go out there and somehow domesticate every fucking zombie? Like, what are you actually doing in this fucking place? Why are we doing this? Yeah. He makes more and more sense the more I watch this movie. Anyways, will Sarah, John, and McDermott make it out of the madhouse alive or become yet more fodder for Logan's twisted experiments? The dead have waited. The day has come. About that tagline,
I like "The day has come" better, a lot more.
That's what she said. Other taglines for this movie: "Prepare yourself for the darkest day of horror the world has ever known." Nope. So, if you thought the one was long, this one's worse.
Yes.
Now life has become a nightmare. I don't even know how that goes anything about day or whatever. When the dead rose from their graves. I don't. Okay. A plague that could not be stopped! ! Okay. The day is coming. Yeah. This one's funny just because of how it repeats. The day is coming. The day is coming. The day is coming.
We get it. It's coming.
First there was Night of the Living Dead, then there was Dawn of the Dead, and now the darkest day of horror the world's ever known.
That's it.
Once again, the dead have their day. Once again, like, I don't understand why. Okay. And this one's even worse. First, he brought the most frightening film ever made. Then he took his unique vision of horror one step further. Now George Romero takes us out of the night, beyond the dawn, and into the darkest day of horror the world has ever known.
You know what that sounds like? That sounds like when we did our intro for this season, and it's it's like, you know how when you said, okay, when we do the intro, I want it to sound like the preview of the film that they play in the theaters?
Yeah. Basically the trailer. Yeah.
So yes, that's what it sounds like. That sounds like a little bit of the trailer, if you will.
If you had the guy reading, it's like, first, he brought us the most frightening film ever made, you know, that sort of thing.
Yes. Oh my God. Exactly that.
I'm going to go into quotes because there's a lot of them, because this is one of the most quotable movies he ever made, period. John, we don't, and I'm not going to do the Jamaican accent because I don't want to get canceled, but I want to, I really want, I started to say it because I hear it in my head when he says it.
Oh my God.
We don't believe in what you're doing here, Sarah. Hey, you know what they keep down here in this cave? Man, they got the books and the records of the top 100 companies. They got the Defense Department budget down here, and they got the negatives for all your favorite movies. They got microfilm with tax return and newspaper stories. They got immigration records, blah, 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 blah. Now, what does it matter, Sarah, darling? All this filing and record keeping, we ever going to give a shit? We even going to get a chance to see it all? This is a great big 14-mile tombstone, and then it just repeats into the, you know, the caverns. Tombstone, yeah. Tombstone. It's a long one, just but I like the implications there. He's basically saying it's nothing they're doing is going to make a world of difference because the world is gone.
Yeah,
and they're just adding to the not. I mean, their records are just going to be piled with a bunch of other records that nobody's ever going to see again.
Yeah, ultimately, what is all of this for? Nothing.
Exactly. Captain Rhodes, who has some of the best lines in any movie, shouting, "I'm running this monkey farm now, Frankenstein, and I want to know what the fuck you're doing in my time. Because if we're just jerking off here, I want to have my men blow the piss out of those precious specimens of yours. And we're going to get the hell out of here and leave you and your highfalutin ass old friends to rot in this stinking sewer. Is that food enough for you?"
I mean, then, Rhodes has a point.
I'm telling you, the more you watch this movie, it's like, I don't like how he does it, but his way he goes about things. But Rhodes is, I mean, he has a point to everything he's saying. And that's actually how Joe Pilato said he played the character. He's like, I know I'm the bad guy in the movie. He said, I realize that, but you got to play it as a point that your character, even though he's the villain, doesn't believe he's the villain. And I played it from the point of view, it's like, this is fucking stupid. Everything they're doing is fucking stupid, and we just need to get the fuck out of here. And it's like, you got a point. You really got a point. Also, Captain Rhodes, "Still shoot that woman." And then, of course, Still points at his finger at Sarah, and he's like, bang, you're dead, you know?
So dumb.
And then that's whatever wrote, well... It's, you know, played for a joke, but then Rhodes looks around at him, cocks his gun, and says, "If you don't shoot her, I'll shoot you." And then that's when things get bad, you know? Dr. Logan, "Civil behavior is what distinguishes us from the lower forms. It's what enables us to communicate, to go about things in an orderly fashion without attacking each other like beasts. Civility must be rewarded, Captain. If it isn't rewarded, there's no use for it. There's just no use for it at all." And, when they find his tape later on and all the shit that he's recording, he even has a line. He's like, you know, we're taught from where kids, like we're bribed to be good little boys and girls. It's like, he's got a very, very dark idea about why we're, you know, we can function as a society. It's basically like we were sold a lie that, and if he could sell that lie to the zombies, then they'll believe the same shit we do, which is, I mean, there's no point for it. We just believe it, you know?
Fucking weird as hell. I don't understand. So, like, I understand why the guy didn't want her to shoot that head. He's like, you're just going to, you know, alert, you know, so-and-so. But
Rhodes,
like,
and the rest of the men, yeah.
They couldn't stab it?
They could have, but she was all about like shooting it, and like he just didn't care. Like whenever you have that character in there, he's all about, or McDermott, he's literally just about like, you know, leave shit alone. Let's get drunk. I'm tired of this stuff. Speaking of him, whenever he was, they're having their meeting, he says, we were on relays then. We weren't over the air. The power's off on the mainland now, in case you haven't heard, and all the shopping malls are closed. That's a little dig back at a previous movie.
Yeah.
Captain Rhodes.
Also, wait, hold on. Before you continue, did you hear them play a version of the gonk in this?
Yes.
Okay.
It plays after, I think, Bub, right?
Like, I think he, so,
they,
yeah.
They show something to Bub, and it's like, do-do-do-do.
Yes.
Do-do-do. And it, yeah, it plays in the, during that part of it. Captain Rhodes, you want me to salute that pile of walking pus? Salute my ass. Dr. Logan, that's right, Bub. Say hello to your Aunt Alicia. Say hello, Aunt Alicia.
Yeah.
Hello. And then Bub's like, Alicia.
Yeah.
And then, like, they're all like, they all like get very disturbed at that moment. And the funny thing is this movie does hint at the possibility of the zombies getting smarter anyways, because that line where they talk about how, you know, Steel is a throwback in that scene, one of the guys is talking, I think it might be Rickles, says that the zombies are afraid to come forward because they know that Frankenstein's, you know, it's going to be basically cutting on them. And that's when Sarah says, if that's the case, they're learning and we've got way more things to worry about. And then that's before they reveal Bub. So they kind of hint throughout this entire movie that the zombies are actually, they're learning to avoid things that'll get them killed.
Yes.
Which is a sign that they have consciousness about them. And of course, the line that we play in all of our disclaimers this season, because it's the best line ever, as Captain Rhodes is getting disemboweled and ripped apart literally, and having his guts eaten out, choke on him. So, a little bit of behind the scenes on that. The intestines they used were pig intestines. They hadn't been refrigerated because somebody forgot to refrigerate them. They were rotting. So when he was saying that line, he was literally
choking
about
on
to vomit.
Yeah. It sounded so good, though. It's in our disclaimer if you guys don't listen to that. But yes, he is screaming choke on him in our disclaimer.
Gross. So this is my question for you. This coming to the discussion of the movie. Of Romero's movies, now I know that technically the zombies in Land of the Dead might be the best looking just because it's one of the newer ones. I prefer the ones in this movie, honestly. I mean, as far as like the way the zombies look, we don't have the blue zombies from part two, Dawn of the Dead.
Correct.
We don't have the people with just the white makeup on and the black under their eyes from Night. I feel there was a way that they changed their ideas on zombies that started like with Land and then it went to the Walking Dead, where they talked about dry zombies. Over time, the zombies would just kind of like become more skeletal looking and they wouldn't like as gross as far as like just stuff leaking out of them like they were in like Return of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
All these 80s zombie movies. I feel like this is the best in between those two types of zombies. Like, they're not, like, constantly leaking, but there's enough, like, stuff about them. Like, perfect example of the zombie I'm talking about, Dr. Tongue at the beginning of the movie. When they are trying to call all the people to see if there's anybody left in that city in Florida or whatever, I think it's Sarasota Springs, and that one zombie appears on screen and it's like missing its jaw and the tongue's just flopping down and it's got all that like wet, nasty, like blood and stuff on there. I like that look of a zombie. That's like my favorite type of zombies. Just that nasty, like,
yeah,
you still like the blood still kind of like, you know, congealed and all that. So what is your thoughts on it? Cause that's what I was all that to lead in to say, what do you think of how the zombies look in this movie?
They were hit or miss for me because there were zombies that looked really cool, like the lady that got shot in the head and pus just started pouring out of it. I don't know if you remember that one. Bub looked super cool, like the actor with his jaw, the way that it moved. Amazing.
Yeah, Bub's the standout, obviously. Yes. He has to be. I mean, because they had to put more effort into him. He's on screen more often.
Yeah, and he's a little green. And a lot of the extras looked really good, but there was a few zombies that looked real cheap. So, and I know that's going to happen. So, like I said, hit or miss. There was more hits than there were misses, though. So I'll give them that.
The ones that looked cheap were the ones that looked like, in the background, that looked like they just basically had some kind of, like, different colored makeup put on them. Like, I'll give you an example that was at the beginning of the movie. You know where they had the alligator on the steps of that bank or whatever it was? There was two fat zombies that walk out behind it, and they literally just look like, you know, bearded fat guys with, like, some kind of, like, paint, you know, put on them. Those were actually the animal handlers for the alligator. Oh. They figured the best way to keep the alligator on track was to have the handlers be that zombies that walk behind it.
Oh, I like that.
But they're an example of the kind of zombie that's, like, not really made up that well in the movie. What about the zombie that lifts up off the table and its guts spill out on the floor? Ugh, you remember that one in Logan's lab or whatever? It just rises up and
all the guts come pouring out. I don't remember it rising up. No, I don't.
It's in the same spot where the one zombie is literally just a brain stem or whatever, and everything else has been removed.
And I've seen Sarah. Has that.
It's in that same moment because that's the one breaks its arm loose and it reaches over and looks towards Sarah, and then, like, its guts just all fall out. She sees that again later in the movie, like, as part of one of her nightmares, because after she sees it, she can't, you know, like, her brain sees it again.
Yeah. I can't believe I missed that, but I did.
I really like the scene at the beginning of this. We're talking about visuals where she's looking at that blank wall, that white stone wall,
yeah.
And there's just that one calendar of October. And then she goes over to it and looks, and it's getting toward Halloween, and then all of a sudden the hands reach out and bust through the wall, and then she wakes up from, like, her nightmare.
That's a cool one. Yes, I like that.
That's why I always consider this movie... It's why I always consider this movie a Halloween movie, because it technically is set during Halloween and whatever year, you know, when basically humanity's gone at this point, because hardly anybody left. I'm telling you, like, the special effects in this movie, like when they're ripping Captain Rhodes apart and they got those pig guts. I mean, this is some of the best special effects he's had and he has in his movies.
Yeah.
I like it better than I like a lot of the land stuff, to be honest.
All of the military guys getting ripped apart, or even one shooting himself in the head, the effects, the shooting in the head was pretty impressive. The one guy that looks like he's kind of sinking into the ground, which he is in the ground technically, it's just his body is not real, but the zombies are pulling it apart, looked super good. Like, I mean, that could have gone so wrong, and I was waiting for it too, because I'm like, okay, well, clearly he's underground and the zombies are on top pulling apart this makeshift body, making it look like it's kind of sinking and just ripping apart like butter. But I don't know. It looked so good to me.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about in that scene. I'm also thinking of that scene. One of them, I think it's the other guy that's not like Rickles or any of the main like cast or whatever. He's the also ran that's at the end of it. That's one of the few soldiers that's left. When he gets ripped apart, like one of the little minor things they add, it's more of a sound thing than it is like a visual, but he starts screaming. And like, as his throat gets ripped off of his body, like they elongate his vocal cords. It starts like the high pitched scream right before it ends. And then of course, if you watch that head as they pull it through the crowd, the jaw keeps working because now he's a zombie basically. Speaking of that, this is the movie I told you about where they take and they pop one of the zombies' heads off with a shovel and then the eyes are still moving, like whenever it's later on.
Yeah.
Did you see that scene?
No, I didn't pay attention to that. But I know we've seen that before in, was it Dawn of the Dead? I forget which one.
It's possible. They have it in a lot of movies, but I feel like this is one of the first ones that did that too. And one that you probably won't give credit to because they've done it a million times since this movie, but it's one of the first times that they actually do such a good job showing it, is the scene where they take Miguel after he's been bit and they chop his arm off then they cauterize the wound. Mm-hmm. I mean, those special effects are pretty damn good because it looks like they're charred flesh or whatever, like the left of his arm. So,
yeah. Question, aside from the facility getting run over by zombies, whatever happened to him? Did I miss what happened to him? Did he ever turn?
He was laying there in the middle of all those zombies. And whenever he laid there long enough to bring them onto the platform that would lower down into the ground, and they were eating on him.
Okay.
While it was lowering down,
which makes sense because I'm like, I don't think he ever turned. You know, I wanted to find out if whatever she did actually prevented the spread.
Actually, here's something weird about this movie that most people don't catch. There's a hint that this movie says that the zombie, that not everybody who dies becomes a zombie. And in particular, what I'm talking about is when Logan gets gunned down by Rhodes, they don't shoot him in the head. There's no bullet wound to his brain, but he doesn't get back up.
Yeah, so not He's everyone. The first. Yeah.
So this is a sign that maybe whatever is causing the zombies might be ending,
or is it just in the saliva when you get bitten?
Well, I'm saying like it just natural.
Is it an STD?
Won't leave me as a zombie. You can still get it from the zombies, obviously, but I'm saying as far as the, the actual people, like if they just die and come back, there's a sign at least with Logan that natural deaths or deaths other than being a zombie might not ever make you into one. So
yeah,
that's a pretty big change. I mean, that shows that's pretty far on that. It's, if that is happening that way. As far as the story in this movie, what Romero originally had planned for this story was exactly what we got in Land of the Dead. It was like some big military complex that was out in the middle of like an island or something. And like there was people trying to break into it. And there was a heavy defense system that kept those people from getting in there. And he just didn't have the budget for it when it was going to take like $15 million to make that kind of movie. And they told him, they're like, yeah, we don't have that. You got $5 million. So make whatever you can with it or whatever the budget ended up being. And he scaled it back to what we got. So, I mean, initially, Romero kind of hated this movie because it was way far below what he wanted with the movie. But over time, it actually became one of his favorite movies that he did. I think it was his favorite because he said that really the whole point of the original story that he wrote was just to show that, like, the breakdown of society, like how the scientists and the contractors and military – even though they're supposed to be working together, they were falling apart and they were like some of the last humans alive. That was the whole point that he was making with the original story anyway. So he said when he pared it down, he got the story across that he wanted. It just, it didn't have the spectacle that he wanted, to film it in. I like it because, I mean, it's a very dark movie. Like there's hardly any good guys or women or whatever you want to say in this movie. Like everybody's kind of a shit bag, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, it is the breakdown of society for sure. And what is there to do? Literally, what is there to do? What else is there for the doctor to do? He literally is making progress with Bubs. So while not in the most humane way, Bubs isn't human. Okay, the military people are getting fed up because what are they protecting? And then the other people are just like, fuck this popsicle stand. Let's fucking get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I mean, there's several people you can agree with in this movie. I mean, you can look at Rhodes and say, okay, why are we doing this? We're wasting men and ammo on this. You can listen to John, the pilot or whatever. It's like, why don't we just go to a tropical island and spend our last days happy? It's like, that man's got a fucking point. Like, why are they in a dark cave doing stupid shit that's not going to amount to anything? And Logan does have success. I mean, he has it twice technically in the movie. He does figure out that if he removes that one specific part of the brain, that he can keep, make them docile, which is what that one brain stem, you know, attached to the body was.
Yeah.
But just like Sarah says, it's like, okay, so somebody has to go out into the field with all the zombies, perform 15 hours worth of surgery that's very intricate,
yeah,
and then we can make them docile. It's like, what are you proving with this? Like, you prove nothing, you know?
Yeah, and if there's I think they were trying to say it was 400,000 to 1. Did I get that ratio wrong? What was the ratio?
Yes, yeah. No, that was the ratio. That's what he says.
Okay,
yes.
So you're going to work on even 400 zombies, let alone 400,000 to 1? Or were they supposed to train the other ones to be docile like them without the surgery?
Well, he was trying both ways, but the other thing is, too, is that there's no hint in the movie that any of the other zombies had the potential to be as smart as Bub. It's like Bub was the anomaly. It's like Logan was trying to prove something, but he was proving it by using the exception. It's like, okay, you have, for some reason, this one zombie has responded so well, but that there's none of the others that are doing that. They're all, like, he even says it throughout the movie that most of them are too aggressive, and he has to put them out of their misery. It's like, okay, so even if of the 400,000 to 1 ratio, assuming that Bub's like a 1% of that, like, how are you going to find those zombies? And first of all, you got to feed them, because that's the main reason that Bub was like, I mean, getting the way that he was. He would get treats, and that those treats were other living people. So who are you going to sacrifice to feed them and get them to where they're, you know, learning or whatever?
Okay, and I missed something. So when they killed, you know, the doctor, because he was being a bad doctor, what was in that? Was that a refrigerator that he was keeping a body in? Because he was obviously getting parts to reward Bubs. Was that human parts? I thought that was an animal.
No, he was taking those soldiers who had died for whatever reason, collecting the zombies, keeping their parts and feeding those to Bub what he'd been doing the entire time.
And I want to know what the fuck is wrong with that. What the fuck else is there for the doctor to do? Now, did the military guys have to stay there and protect him? No, I don't think that they had to do that. That sucks that they had to do that. They have better shit that they want to do. They want to go find women to fuck. I get it. You can't keep them caged like that. And as for the, you know, three remaining, if you will, I don't know what the fuck they were doing there, honestly, but they look like they didn't want to be there. If the doctor wants to stay there and keep working on that because he thinks he could do something, that's fine. But you need to have people that are willing to be there with you to do it.
100%, because, I mean, you have results. I mean, because, like, one of the defining moments in the movie is when Bub accidentally unlocks his own, like, chain or whatever, like, he's fiddling with one part and he pulls it out. When he walks, like, in there, he does it in a way that's not aggressive. He's literally showing he wants to show the chain to Logan to say, I made a boo-boo, I'm not supposed to be loose. That's a sign that he's not aggressive whatsoever. But whenever he sees that Logan's dead, he knows who killed Logan, which shows that he's more intelligent even than what they give him credit for in the movie, because as soon as he sees Logan dead, he knows the motherfucker who did it.
Yes.
He knows who did it.
Oh, 100%.
And he only goes for that person. He specifically goes after Rhodes.
He was so sad. His face. He looked like a real sad puppy. Like, that's how my dog would look if I was killed. And then my dog would turn into Cujo and tear up the motherfucker that killed me.
I love in that scene where Rhodes sees him. It's like, you know, Rhodes realizes he's got that look on his face, Pilato does, where it's just like, oh my God, I've really fucked up, because, you know, he knew that the zombie was going to shoot him. And, like, I mean, Bub's not like the best shot, but he's pretty damn good for a zombie. I mean, he gets some moving shots on Rhodes as he's going through.
Got him right in the fucking back. Oh, he was done after that.
He got him in the back, and then he got him in his leg, because later on when he's doing that weird, like, walk along the side of the wall or whatever, it's because he's got, like, this bullet through his calf and he can't walk on it.
Hell
or whatever.
Yeah. Bub's ain't no bitch.
No, he takes him out pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
I I fucking love this movie though. Like, the acting in it is over the top, I will admit, mm-hmm. but that's the charm of the movie. That's when I spoke to Romero, who's another, I'll never meet somebody who's as nice as he is, like, especially for what he did. Like, that man was humble as shit. Like, I mean, he was, you could just sit down and talk to him, and it sucks that he's gone now. But like, whenever I sat down and I talked to him about this movie, he said that he actually, when he finally, decided that it was probably his best movie that he made, he loved it because it was just one big comic book, is what he said, because the characters are just over the top, like Rhodes, you know, screaming all the time, and Logan being like that weird stereotypical like mad scientist, and it's true. But I mean, like, because they're all crazy and they're going crazy, it works. I think, I don't know if you felt that way, but like, The characters who were kind of like even keeled, like John and, you know, McDermott, like they played it even keeled. Like, they were just like, why the fuck are we doing this? Let's get the fuck out of here. But everybody else was going insane. So like, even still like was, you know, like just kind of out there. I mean, you know, and that one scene, I got to add this in there because this goes into acting. That scene where Steele does like the sign of the cross with a pistol before he blows his brains out. That wasn't in the original script.
Oh, okay.
He added that because he was like talking to Romero, and he says, when I go out, he says, I got this idea that Steele is like a devout Catholic, and like and this is what he would do. And like, and he said that when he told that to Romero, Romero was like, I love it. Let's do that. Let's go.
Which, you know? Romero so was pretty open to that shit. So,
yeah. So that's, I thought that was cool that he added that last little scene, you know, or to Steele to make him stand out a little bit more.
Yeah. I don't like over the top acting from the '80s. You know me. That's it. That's all I wanted to say about that.
Okay. What about the music in the movie? It's kind of like a lot of Caribbean themes in the movie that's playing in the background.
Yeah.
Very
older movie drama, but more like, it kind of reminded me of like soap opera drama a little bit.
Well, and it's appropriate too in different times, because like the scene where the military, like when Rhodes is telling, you know, Steele to shoot Sarah, it's got that, you know, military beat. It's like, it's like this like drum is going on. It's like, it's beating or whatever, kind of like they're waiting for something to happen.
Yeah.
And of course the gonk, that one scene where it's added in.
I was dying. It's kind of a synthesized gonk, if you will.
Yeah. I don't know. There's between that and just the sound of it, where there's certain scenes where you just hear the howling of the cave. I like that, because it kind of adds like this spooky, like they really are like the last people left types scenario, because stuff just echoes a lot in this movie, you know, like it, there's a lot of empty is what it kind of gives the feeling of. I don't know if you got that from it, but
yeah, I mean, I don't have anything to elaborate or add or to change. So yeah, definitely.
I've watched it a bunch of times, so I have to elaborate on that stuff or it'll kill me.
Not I'll surprised. Get into trivia.
Yeah, we'll get in the trivia, and then you can give me a rating, which I know is going to disappoint me, but it's fine. It's fine. I anticipate it.
I wonder if any of the listeners are like, she fucking hates this movie.
I don't even want to say what I think you'll give it, because then it could come in under that, and then I'll be upset. I'm just going to leave it alone, and then just be pleasantly surprised.
We'll jump off that bridge when we get there.
Trivia. All the extras who portrayed zombies in the climax received for their services a cap that said, I played a zombie in Day of the Dead, a copy of the newspaper from the beginning of the film that says The Dead Walk, and $1. One whole dollar.
Wait. Oh, yeah, that's the... a cap is not a t-shirt this time?
No, they got a cap instead of a t-shirt.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like I'd want the t-shirt, but the cap might last longer.
That newspaper, though, that's cool. That I would like to have, like, that little newspaper thing that just says The Dead Walk on it.
And $1. The $1 kills me.
Well, they have to pay them. I mean, that's part of the SAG rules. Some of the headlines from the newspaper that says the dead walk includes vice president declares state of emergency, whereabouts of president unknown, food supply dwindles, and man bites man.
Interesting. Okay.
The original script, which George Romero could not get the budget for, involved a scientist living above ground in a fortress protected by electrified fences and the military living safely underground. It also involved a small army of trained zombies and the conclusion of the trilogy more brutal than the released version. This later became the basis for Land of the Dead, which is a whole haves versus have-nots type situation.
Yeah.
The lowest grossing film in George Romero's Dead trilogy, nonetheless, it's gained a cult following over the last three decades.
This was the lowest grossing one?
Yeah, because Dawn blew up. Like, I mean, Dawn was massive.
Okay.
On the special edition DVD, director George Romero claims that this is his favorite film out of the original Dead trilogy. He also said that in person, so... the underground facility was not a soundstage. It was actually shot in Wampum Mine, a former limestone mine near Pittsburgh that was being used for underground storage facility. The 2,500,000 square foot mine is now operated as a gateway commerce center and referred to as a subsurface storage facility.
Interesting.
I don't know if it's in this, but I'll get into it. There was a lot of problems working in that mine. Like you don't work in like a damp mine without having like health issues. But I'll get into that a little bit later. The alarm sound heard is the same one from The Thing from 1982. You know, whenever the alarm for the thing coming down, you know, the walkway coming down with the zombies. First attempts to shoot the scene where Sarah performs surgery on Miguel's arm failed when it simply bounced off the rubber. So Tom Savini remade it with wax, and that actually looked legit whenever it that way.
Imagine that.
Right after Logan tells the zombie that it needs to sit in the dark and think about what it did and punishes it, that's where the gonk plays.
Oh, yes.
It's a version of it can be heard. Although it never confirmed, it has been rumored by fans that the character Joe Pilato played, like I said, in Dawn of the Dead, you know, is the same character. He was a cop, went on to become the military, became a captain, and that's where you get the connection between the two films.
I believe it.
I mean, it works. There's no reason not to believe it. I mean, he was in both films playing a person of authority in both movies.
Yeah.
The budget that George Romero's original script was estimated at $7 million, but he would only be given the money if he could film an R-rated film. He was told that if he went ahead and shot it unrated, with no limits on the gore, the budget would be split in half to 3.5. So there you go. That's the reason.
Whoa.
He refused to make it an R-rated movie. He wanted the gore to be in the movie.
Okay.
Joseph Pilato was cast as Rose's film's antagonist, as stated by Pilato. He pretty much just gave it to me. I don't even know if he auditioned other people, but it was very quick. I came in, and it was just like, you got it. You're Rose. So.
Okay. I mean, I wouldn't complain.
Tony Todd actually auditioned for the role of John. But even though he didn't get it, he would become the lead in the Night of the Living Dead remake. So.
That's kind of cool.
During a vacation break in filming, makeup artist Greg Nicotero used a realistic and gruesome model of his own head, as seen in the laboratory scene in the film, to play a practical joke on his own mother.
Hell yeah.
The book Dr. Logan Gives Bub is Stephen King's Salem's Lot.
I love that book.
George Romero and King have been friends for many years, and so that's the reason it had a, you know, cameo in the film.
I like it.
During Miguel's sedation, Laurie Cardill told Anthony DeLeo Jr. to actually slap her so that it looked more authentic in the movie.
She's into that. I get it.
Pat Logan, who played Uncle Reege in Night of the Living Dead 1990, appears as the bald mustachioed zombie shot by Steel in the mines. So there's a lot of links between. Yeah, that's it's kind of funny that I just find it funny that there's so many like Night of the Living Dead remake and then Day of the Dead, you know, like crossovers there.
Yeah, but it's Romero. So are we surprised?
Well, technically it was Savini.
Oh,
he didn't have to get those people, but I guess he worked. He also was on the set of this movie, so he just worked with him, and he's like, hey, come back and play this other part for me.
Yeah.
Both actors playing Captain Rhodes in the two versions of the Day of the Dead also appeared in both versions of Dawn of the Dead as police officers. So in Dawn of the Dead, 1978, Joe Pilato played officer at the police dock before playing Rhodes in Day of the Dead. And in Dawn of the Dead 2004, Ving Rhames played Kenneth, who is a cop. And then later in Day of the Dead, one of those remakes that we don't mention, he played Rhodes for some weird reason.
That's so funny. There you go.
The zombies moaning, groaning, growling, roaring, and feasting sounds happen to be played by the voice of the talented actor Mark Dodson, who played the voice of Salacious Crumb, Jabba the Hutt's sidekick, and court jester in episode 6, Return of the Jedi.
Nice.
They were not all done by sound effects. That's kind of funny that Salacious Crumb was basically the voice of all the zombies. Sarah, John, McDermott, Miguel, Dr. Logan, Bub, and Captain Rhodes were the only characters from George Romero's original script that made it into the final version. One of the makeup technicians criticized his manager's choice to play Michael Jackson Thriller on set. If you look closely, there's a zombie dressed like Michael Jackson because of this.
Oh, my God. Isn't this the second film where we've had a...
The Return of the Living Dead 2 had literally Michael walked into the shot or whatever. The large column building in the opening scene filmed in Fort Myers, it's Fort Myers, not Sarasota, is now an art museum and used to host an annual zombie fest known as ZombieCon.
Interesting.
Kind of cool. Much like Big Daddy in Land of the Dead, Bub is never seen attacking a living human for food and thus only kills the human protagonist as an act of revenge. Bub did, however, consume the butchered flesh and organs of the recently deceased Private Johnson and Private Miller, given to him by Dr. Logan, implying that he has not entirely lost his taste for human flesh.
He's an opportunistic hunter, is what I'm going to go with.
He's a puppy dog that was being fed by his master, and then his master died, and he got revenge, just like Lassie would have. All above-ground scenes were filmed at several locations around Florida where George Romero was living at the time. All the military men have beards and appear to have already given up shaving at some point, with the exception of Rhodes, who still shaves and preserves his military look. Although this could be attributed to the character's military discipline, it could also be interpreted as a sign that he refuses to face the reality of their situation. As mentioned twice by Dr. Logan, all signs indicate that they are probably the only people left, yet he still cares about looking like a proper officer, which... It's a nice little, weird thing about his character that he has to look pristine whenever it's like he knows that what they're doing is bullshit, but why does he still care about why he looks up like a proper military guy? It's weird.
Yeah.
Little mental thing about him.
Well, I feel like people preserve their humanity in any way they can. I mean, I feel like I've seen people in The Walking Dead or in most zombie films where it's like, she's wearing fucking eyeliner. I mean, hello. Zombieland. She had smoky eyes all the time.
She did in that, but that kind of fit. Well, that kind of fit her character because she was still working cons on people, and she had to look as good as she could to work cons.
Yeah, true. In the second one,
she doesn't do that. If you notice, like, she doesn't wear the makeup as much because she doesn't really. I mean, even though she leaves him, she technically has a man, so there's no reason to keep running the cons like she used to.
That is true, yeah, but I don't know. And that's the thing is, like, I see that, and I'm, like, walking down, I'm like, they're wearing makeup. She's definitely contoured. And I know it's not supposed to look like they're wearing makeup, but they are, and I'm like, you save your humanity any way you can. I'd be wearing sunscreen during the zombie apocalypse. I'm telling you, I'm not. Look it, I don't want to go out by a zombie, and I don't want to go out by skin cancer, okay?
Well, I mean, some of us would have to wear some kind of SPF or we'd be dying because of the sun. But
that is true.
George Romero originally intended the film to be the Gone with the Wind of zombie films.
No.
His words.
No.
Here you go. Dr. Logan figures the ratio of the undead to the human survivors is 400,000 to 1. You remember that perfectly.
Yay.
When the film was made in 1985, the population in the United States... in our version of reality, was 240 million. If Dr. Logan is right and the U.S. population of this universe was roughly the same, then the film took place in 1985, there were 600 living human beings left in the USA total.
Someone fucking mathed that?
Yes, they did.
What the hell? I can barely use my calculator to calculate tax.
600 living people is that's about as low as you can get. So yeah. I mean, I think there's like some kind of thing that said at one point in time human population dropped down to about 500 and we almost went extinct.
Oh wow!
So we're all technically related because ew, we all came back from that population.
Cousin Reverend.
Well. She's my sister. She's my sister. George Romero stated that he wanted gore content as brutal as what appeared on screen so badly that he accepted the film's budget getting slashed for the sake of it coming out the way he envisioned it. After Dr. Logan reprimands the test subject zombie for reacting violently to human contact, the music that plays is the gong. We've already said that. Yeah. It is hinted that by the time of this film, the phenomenon that caused the zombie plague was dissipated or disappeared, as evidenced by the fact that Logan and Fisher were shot and killed. They did not reanimate. I forgot about that Fisher. Fisher's also another one.
Oh, yeah.
The other scientist, he's shot but not in the head, and he never gets back up either.
Yeah.
So, basically, the original radiation or whatever you want to say that caused the dead to rise up is gone, and so really, unless you're bit, you can actually die, which is, I mean, I guess that's a good thing.
Hallelujah.
You don't be a zombie.
Yeah.
Although year is not indicated, the calendar at the beginning of the movie shows October starting on a Tuesday. The year this movie was released, 85, has October 1st landing on a Tuesday. The next previous year was 74, 4 years prior to the previous movie, Day of the Dead. Or Dawn of the Dead, as it was, should say. But anyways, so it probably did take place in 85. I mean, it would make way more sense than it being set in 74. I mean, that's way too close to Dawn, in my opinion. Sarah warns Rhodes multiple times that Salazar is a danger to himself and everyone around him and needed to be quarantined. Sure enough, he has a mental breakdown at the worst possible time, letting the zombies into the complex.
Yeah, what a dick.
Well, that's what happens whenever you're a catty little bitch like he was. The opening sequence was filmed in Fort Myers. Joseph Pilato, who plays Rhodes, line choke on him as he's being ripped apart by the zombies was ad-libbed by the character, which nice. Is even cooler.
Even though he is dying of smell.
Like I said, they were not... They got those pig intestines from a local slaughterhouse, but they did not refrigerate them the night before, and they were starting to go off, as you might say, and spoil. And so most of those people who were in that scene became physically sick from having to do that. Pilato actually went on to say that he, at the time of the Blu-ray interviews that they did, that he could still smell those to that day.
No.
That's how gross it was. Which I think whenever we covered Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original movie, they said similar things about that house where they had like the pig parts or whatever inside of it. They said that it was like a house of horrors, like being in there in the middle of the Texas summer and having to smell that.
Well, because it was hot, so it was making it a million times worse.
This is the only movie in Romero's Dead series where the zombie has a line of dialogue. Some viewers attribute that line, another line to Bub besides Aunt Alicia, but that's disputed. When Sarah enters Logan's lab, she is startled when Bub emerges from the shadows behind her. After this, he moans something that some fans believe says, "I'm sorry."
Aww.
Because he you know, scared her.
Bub is a certified good boy.
But he is a pit bull. If you piss him off, he will go after you. George Romero had originally planned for all the zombies to perish in a massive explosion when they stumbled upon explosive chemicals in the lab. Meanwhile, one of the crew members who had died during the attack was to have stayed dead and not come back as a zombie, therefore giving hope to the survivors. The part about the not coming back as a zombie is technically still in the movie, although the big explosion's not in there. That would have been kind of cool to see, but, you know, budgets are budgets, so you got to do what you got to do. And the last work of Romero, the book The Living Dead, which I have been trying to read for the longest time, but it has got some bullshit in it. I just got to throw that out there. It is revealed in that book that all the survivors from this movie did not survive, and because they were found as zombies on that island at the end, or that they're on at the end of the movie in his last book or whatever that they're working on making a movie out of. they're basically all zombies walking around, so they didn't make it, folks. Did not make it.
But how did they become zombies if they weren't bitten?
Well, that's the thing, because that's a big continuity error. If they just died, they shouldn't have became zombies.
Yeah, or there were zombies on that island, because I was waiting for that to happen, because you and the hubby told me, oh, it ended on a bleak note, and I was like, they're on a fucking island. That shit looks amazing. Like, compared to where they were, they're getting some vitamin D. I don't know what kind of food sources are out there, but, like, it's a possibility that this isn't going to be as bad. You don't know. I was happy when it ended.
You know, that could be taken a weird way. It's like, I was happy when this movie was over with.
We'll talk about more about that later.
I'm not saying that the movie ends bleak. I'm saying it's a bleak movie because, like, literally, I mean, everybody in it except for those three just dies horribly. Like, there's no real hope for anybody other than just to spend your last days sitting by the beach waiting to die. That's literally how the movie is.
Look at when you're around a bunch of fucking zombies and it stinks and they're dead and they're fucking, all they do is cry and moan. It's like you're in the office all day and you're like, fuck, I just want to go home. Look at, the island has to be a million times better. There's at least a little bit more hope. Like, okay, we're going to be safe for a while. Yeah, there's still that fear that there's always going to be that, you know, anything can happen or maybe something might float upon us or maybe this island has zombies. I don't know because I don't know how big it is or isn't.
I guarantee you that the easiest solution to say why they died is that there was like some kind of bloated zombie that like basically washed up, or a few of them washed up on that island, and they ended up, you know, attacking the people that were still there.
That's possible. Anything's possible, but I'm like, I would feel a whole lot better than being surrounded by a ratio of 400,000 to 1 and be on an island, be like, okay, we got to worry about a scraggler here or there, you know?
It's true.
That's me, but I'm also, I am an optimistic person despite my how dark I appear. So
it is the most hopeful ending that he has in any of the three original movies, because remember in the first movie everybody dies. Mm-hmm. Even the main character played by Dwayne or whatever, he basically gets shot by a bunch of racist rednecks, which is not what Romero intended. It's just they thought he was another zombie, so they killed him. Dawn has the two survivors. One of them was about to commit suicide and barely got out the last second. They're just flying in a helicopter and they're about out of gas, so we don't know what happened to them.
Yeah.
This movie, they actually made it to the fucking island on the helicopter. Yeah. So they at least they got to the place that everybody else wanted to get to if they had their option. So there's that.
That's true. So I don't know. But I was like, okay, this isn't as bleak. And Noah's like, they're the only ones alive. And I'm like, and? I don't give a fuck.
But there's that too, because I mean, in every other movie prior to this, there was at least the rednecks still taking care of shit out in the boonies.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
God bless the rednecks, you know.
But the rednecks have apparently been wiped out too in this version. So I mean,
we don't
it's, you know.
They don't know what's happening around the entire world. They know what's happening in their area of the United States, and that's it. They heard, oh well, so and so is taking over this, so and so is taking over that. They don't know.
All right, let's get into your thoughts on what this movie should be rated by us, or at least yourself.
Did you want to guess what my rating is going to be?
No, because I don't want to be disappointed. I know what I would shoot for. My hope is that you would be at 3, but if you come in lower than that, I'm going to be disappointed. So just whatever you come in with, just go. Let's do it.
Rip the Band-Aid off. I'm going to come in, meet you halfway to a 5 and give it a 2.5 because this movie was
that's what I was fucking afraid of right there, right? A 2.5.
This movie was a snooze fest. It was a slow burn. I was dying in this movie. I was becoming a zombie slowly, and it hurt real bad. Bub was definitely the main attraction of this film. I loved it. And I do like the points that we got to see. The action really took off towards the end, but it was too little too late for me. I had already turned at that point.
See, I kind of thought that would be a major, because as I was watching it, I was like, okay, she's not going to like any of the social commentary that they're doing with just the scenes in between.
Nope.
So the fact that they're they're in that bunker and there's really no threat other than the like occasional person getting bit by one of the zombies they're trying to collect is not going to do anything for her. But at the end, when they're doing the final shootout and the zombies are like in mass, I was like, that'll bring her back at the end. But, and maybe the scene at the beginning, cause I, it does start out with a bang with all the zombies walking, you know, toward them, you know, so it builds up the idea that there's just hordes of them everywhere.
But, yeah. You know, especially with the whole helicopter and everything. And it's like, let's put gas in it. It was pissing me off that he was like, we need to put gas in this. And she's like, no, we'll do it at night. Bitch, no, when you can't see anything. Oh, no, they're too excited. I don't give a fuck. Put gas in it. He was so right.
I mean, he even said it. He's just like, what does it matter if they're excited? He's like, they you know, can sense that we're in here. It's not going to make a difference if they can see us or not, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
All right, keep going. Let's hear some more trashing of this movie.
I don't want to trash on it anymore. This is a classic film, but it was not for. Oh, and you want to know what's even worse? This is going to break your heart even more. Are you ready? I like the newer Day of the Dead more than I like this. Actually, no, I take that back, because I like the newer Land of the Dead over this one. So the remake of Land of the Dead, I liked more than, and I don't know that I've seen Day of the Dead, actually, the newer one. I don't think I have.
There's no way you could like the new Day of the Dead movies. They are god-awful. Like, they are bad, bad, bad.
What's the, because didn't you say that Ving Rhames was in Day of the Dead?
Yes, he's in like a straight-to-video.
Yes, and I forget, so was, oh my God, why can't I think of him right now? The guy with
Nick
all the
Cannon
kids.
Nick Cannon, like
yeah. Okay, so no, I have not seen that one. Okay, I was worried. That's where I thought I was going to break your heart, because I thought that, I was thinking that Land of the Dead was Day of the Dead, which is funny, because now I think I need to bump my score up slightly. Because I thought that this was the original story to Land of the Dead, where those zombies in Land of the Dead, the newer one, were definitely, like, there was a gas station attendant that still thought that he had to put gas in cars and shit like that. Like, they were trying to turn
that
back
to human.
That
was Big Daddy, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So I thought that that's what this story was kind of based on, and I'm like, this is a way shittier version of it. And I know the newer ones, they can be better. Sometimes they're not, though. Obviously, the newer Day of the Dead was not as good as this one. I bet you my score would go up more, too, if I had seen the newer Day of the Dead.
I'm sure if you had any inkling about how bad the new Day of the Dead was, you'd at least respect the fact that of what this one did. Land is not the movie that... Land is the movie that Romero might have made with this if he would have had the budget, but at the same time, it's... It's another thing that came up with later, because he was in his whole political, like, you know, basically the Republicans are the ones in the building that have all the wealth and everything. And the I guess the Democrats or whatever you want to say, are the poor working people that are outside. And then the zombies are even lower class citizens who are getting treated like shit.
Those are
and
the like illegal immigrants.
Commentary. They're basically the illegal immigrants or whatever. And he had, like, it was a big social commentary, and it's like, the more you look into that part of that movie, the worse that movie is. Like, I we'll get into Land when we watch it and review it, but I like it for what it is, and I like the certain things in that movie, but the effects of the zombies and all that, I think, are less in certain ways, because there's a lot of CGI that's built into that movie. Like, one scene I think is cool in that movie that a lot of people shit on because of the CGI effect is that one zombie that doesn't look like it has a head at all, but then it like whips its head onto somebody's shoulder because it's still connected with its spinal cord.
Yeah.
It's a cool effect. It's a cool idea, but the CGI does ruin it. It's like, and there's a lot of CGI in that movie that kind of is bad, really. But.
Yeah. Okay. So I can't really compare the newer Land of the Dead to this, because it's not the same story, although it is a little bit, because obviously we got zombies that are kind of learning to associate to life again in a way. So anyways, that's about it. It's sad, because when I was telling Noah, you know, I do, there are some older movies I like, especially when it comes to the zombie genre. I go, but sometimes the remakes are good and sometimes they're not. Clearly this is a case where the remake was not good, but when we're talking about Night of the Living Dead, the original, that one scares me just as much, and I love that movie just as much as I like the remake. In fact, I would say that I like the older one slightly better. Yes, the remake is going to be better. You got a better budget. You got more time. You've been able to, you're able to expand on things a little bit better. But the original is the original. It was so well done. It's still so effective to me. So I was, it's hard because
it's also got like, it's also got this weird like effect of being an old newsreel. Like it's realistic. Yes. Like you could imagine somebody recorded that back in the time or something like that.
Yeah, it was real serious. Where this one is, the acting is just a little too much. There is definitely some comedy relief. I'm not too huge a fan of that, although I probably do need that because zombie movies scare me so bad. But yeah, I don't know. It was, I hate that this movie was not it for me.
I didn't know how you'd fall on it. It's not going to change my opinion whatsoever.
Yes.
It's my favorite film by him, period. it's 5 out of 5. I love all the main characters in this movie. I mean, you can say they're overacting, and they are, but I love it. I Rhodes, Steele, Bub, I mean, Frankenstein, Dr. Logan. I mean, even like John's like very put upon, like affected Jamaican accent.
God.
Like I like, there's one little scene. It cracks me up every time. Like when Sarah and McDermott are escaping through the tunnels and McDermott, like one of the zombies walks up to him and like almost gets him, but he turns around at the last second and whacks it with a shovel. He does this little whoof. You know, like to kind of psych himself up or whatever. It's like, I just got you, bitch.
Yeah.
Like just little things like that I love in this movie. Ugh. Like Dr. Tongue at the beginning of it, like that one of the most iconic zombies that was ever in a movie besides Bub. I mean, I love how Bub was acted and all that. Like, I mean, I even like the fact, I mean, the scenes you don't like, I like just because the paranoia, the, you know, the breakdown of like the, you know, the scientist and the military and how they interact. I love all those scenes because it sets up that like there's, the place is going to have problems regardless of the zombies being outside or not, because none of the people in there can get along, and it's going to fall apart. And that's all Romero was trying to say. It's just like, even though the humans only have each other at this point, their prejudices and every other thing that they got going on, because I mean, hell, it's even got that in the movie. I mean, how many times does he make some kind of like racist comment about Miguel, causing him to speak like 15 million times? I mean,
yellow
like
skinned.
All that stuff. Like, yeah. And he's like, Jello. That's what a Spick says when they say hello or whatever he says, like all that stuff. Like, I mean, and then even the implied rape, you know, from Rhodes, I mean, he even kind of like, he licks his lips and looks at Sarah and's like, I believe it's time the rest of us got a piece of that action.
Yeah.
You know, like, all that stuff, like, just shows that the humans, I mean, they're outnumbered and they're dying out, but they still can't fucking get over their own shit to be able to work together.
Yeah.
And that's like the worst fucking commentary you could make about like people in general. Like, it really is. So, and I mean, like, even the Caribbean music, because, like, it's just enough at times in the movie where it's, like, getting so dark and, like, brutal, just, like, the weighing down of everything. And then you have those little scenes with John and McDermott and their little paradise out in their RV where Caribbean music's playing in the background and stuff. It's just, like, I just love this movie. I really do. Like, I like everything about it.
Yes, I know. Noah loves it very much too, and I am so sorry to the fans that I am not sorry that I rated it what I rated it. You guys should know me by now, and if you don't, you're not a real fan.
These are some of the best special effects that's in zombie movies, period, in this movie.
I will give it at least that.
Because later on, they start replacing a lot of, like, the blood work and stuff with, like, CGI, and it looks, I mean, it's not as good. Like, just admiring the fact that they got, like, I mean, you know, they were using real guts and how just everything about it. I mean, just effects wise, for a, if you go into the movie as a gore hound, you're going to get what you want out of this movie. Like, that's,
and that's what I am, which is insane, because you would think that I would, okay, fine, I will bring it up to a 2.9.
I'm not trying to sway you one way or the other. Outside of, like, Terrifier, if you're wanting, like, gore, I mean, this is one of those movies that delivers on the gore.
Like, that is true. It in, and not only do they deliver on it, it looks good.
Yes, I mean, because this is, to me, this is almost peak Savini. Like, I mean, he got better. He got better in his remake of Night, but only barely. It's like a smidge difference between the two of them.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to get better. You got time, you got budget, you know, special effects, things like that. I don't care that they get better, because I expect that. It's what you were able to do at the beginning of your career that impresses me. And this one was good. Obviously, Dawn of the Dead, not great. You know,
but I mean, the blue makeup is kind of too much. It really is.
Yeah. So,
and there's only one zombie. I mean, well, there's two zombies from Dawn of the Dead that stand out. I mean, the original Dawn of the Dead. It's the plaid shirt zombie that's on the cover of, you know, the VHS, yes, and all that stuff, because he's got, like, the holes in his face and all that. And then Flyboy Zombie. Flyboy Zombie's, like, perfect. Yes. I love how, you know, that actor made him move and great. All that stuff.
Yeah.
But, I mean, any day, Dr. Tongue and Bub, like, outshine those two zombies, like, I mean, perfectly. Like, they're so good special effects-wise.
Yeah, hold on. I'm pulling up Dr. Tongue right now. Why is that? There it goes. What the hell? That's so funny. Yeah, that's a good special effect.
It's good. I mean, you could tell it's like a puppeted head, but it's good. Like, it's a good effect.
Yeah.
The only zombie in this, there's one clown zombie that's kind of goofy looking toward the end of the movie.
I hate clown zombies.
The funny thing is, at the end of this movie, like, they went all out and trying to make, like, different zombies, you know, like, they had clown zombies. They had one that looked like it was the head of a marching band. I kind of dig it, though, in a weird campy way, because it's like, okay, why was this group just randomly on this, you know, near this military base? Like, how the fuck did they, I mean, because they've got, like, a version of some kind of zombie from, like, you know, all walks of life. There's one that was former military that was probably one of the people in the base at one point in time. And just, I mean, it's the zombie that actually falls off of the lowering pedestal thing or whatever and just falls straight onto the ground. But, like, some of the other zombies, just, I mean, they get some outrageous outfits. They very 80s outfits, too, while yeah. they're at it. So, but I don't know. I cannot, like, I mean, I just, this is the one that I go to way more. Like, I like Land. This is a controversial statement. I actually like Land better than I like Romero's Dawn. Like, I know people, like, swear up and down that, like, Dawn's the best thing since sliced bread, but I personally, I'm like you, I think Night's probably a better movie than Dawn, in my opinion, mm-hmm. just because of, I mean, if you want to go back to the black and white one.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, it's better made.
Yeah, I can agree more, so I definitely like Dawn, Night of the Living Dead, and then, of course, this Day of the Dead is better than Dawn, but that's because we're talking about visuals alone on it.
I like the characters better in this one than I do in Dawn. I mean, yes, Ken Voorhees great, and I like Scott Reiniger's character, and Flyboy is good. But Flyboy, before he becomes a zombie, is kind of a derpy piece of shit. I mean, he's kind of just, I mean, he's a waste of space through most of the movie. And then the one lady character, all she does is, like, you know, basically complain until she learns how to fly the helicopter, and then she gets the fuck out of there. Like, there's no, I don't like the four main characters to me in that don't stand out to all the other characters that's in that. It's like even the bad guys in this I like better than some of the other. I like the motorcycle gang. Like, I think they're all goofy as fuck when they show up in Dawn, especially Tom Savini's character, the one with the machete.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, that character comes back in Land. I don't know if you remember that, but that machete zombie or machete guy is a zombie in Land of the Dead. It's Savini playing the character again, the same character.
In newer one?
In Land, yes.
Oh, that, my God.
When we watched that movie, that machete motorcycle guy that Savini played, after he got bit, apparently he became a zombie, and he's one of the ones walking around on the outside of Pittsburgh, wherever they're at, in Land of the Dead.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, to me, if I was going to rank the original trilogy, leaving Land out of it, it would definitely be Day, then Night, then Dawn.
Wow. And
I know people are throwing fits out there because, like, Dawn of the Dead's the best thing. It's like, I like it okay. But I actually like Zack Snyder's version better. I really do.
Yeah, and I'm Night, Day, and Dawn. So I put Dawn even further down the pipeline. Sorry.
And if we worked Land in there, I mean, honestly, and this is kind of a spoiler, I would probably, I don't know. I feel like Night and Land to me can like flip based upon where just how I'm feeling for the day. Because there's certain elements I like about Land a lot, but I feel like Night is a better movie overall. So yeah. It's just kind of like,
well, Night is going to be number one for me always. That is the movie that tormented me for life, and I'll never forget it. And that, in you know, that kind of fear, you don't forget that shit. So that's amazing. So for me, it's Night, Land, Day, and Dawn, if we were to throw Land in there.
Again, it would be Day, then probably Land, then Night, but the real, I mean, like, they're just like a hair difference between the two of them. And then down the list would be Dawn. Like, I just think that Dawn gets way overliked by people because of the whole, like, campy shopping mall part of it.
I'm not gonna yuck somebody's yum. Like, if that's your thing, that's fine. It's just not mine. So
it's perfectly fine. It's just I know a lot of people, like, if you don't make Dawn the primary one, they're like, yeah. And there's been a lot of people change their tune about Day. If you say Day was your favorite for the longest time, they look at you, you know, like you were, I don't know, like some kind of abomination. It's like, how dare you like this movie? It's not got any humor to it, and it's, you know, really dark and depressing. It's like, it's kind of the point. That's kind of why I like it.
Yeah, how dare you?
So we have Paranorman to discuss on the episode after this, correct?
Correct, yeah. But I think we're going to save that till next week.
Yeah, I'm just saying for the, you know, people listening, the next one they'll get is be Paranorman, just so that they're aware of what's coming up. And then after that, I think we've decided we're going to do the at least a few Lucio Fulci zombie movies. The lack of plots on a lot of those movies wears on me, so I don't know how many I can get into before I mean, visually, they're stunning. Like, I'm not going to bag on that, because actually some of the zombie effects in Zombie were way above their time. Like, I mean, or way ahead of their time, because they looked like dead bodies walking around. But I don't know, like, when you see that zombie fight a shark, I don't know how you're going to feel about that, because that's a wild scene.
Wait, and which movie? One of the Lucio Fulcis?
The first one, Zombie. Okay. Literally, you have a zombie fighting a shark in that movie.
Is it Neptune?
It's just this woman goes diving under the water, and while she's under there, she gets nearly attacked by a shark, and she thinks that she's fine, and then a zombie comes in, and then she only gets to escape because the shark and the zombie start fighting each other, and then she gets the fuck out of there.
Okay, there's that. Oh my God, that reminded me. I just saw a TikTok last night, because 3 a.m., I'm up at 3 a.m. every morning. I am the epitome of the witching hour. Like, that is, I don't know why that's a thing, but it is for me. But during the witching hour, I was watching a TikTok about this shark that this family had caught. It sounded like it was mostly a normal. I'm guessing they're a rich family because they caught a fucking shark. There's no hint at how the shark died, but they ended up freezing it. Don't know how. Okay. And kept it for years. Then finally it got transported to some facility where it was put into a tank of, what's the stuff that you preserve bodies with?
Formaldehyde or something?
No, formaldehyde, I think.
Okay.
Okay. A whole ass tank. Okay. And then this theme park where it was at, first of all, a dead fucking shark in formaldehyde. Holy fuck. Okay. Ultimately a zombie shark. It's not alive, but still, can you imagine? Ugh. I have to find this TikTok and send it to you. It's creepy as fuck. So then this park gets abandoned. Okay, but that shark is still there. And people start finding out that the shark is there. And they start, like, tearing up the tank and throwing shit in there. Well, the fumes start escaping. So, one, it's already dangerous for people to be there. But, two, it starts evaporating. So then the top fin starts kind of, you know, obviously, it's deteriorating because it's dead. And it's actually not in the formaldehyde. And somebody got a picture of this shark. It's just this dead shark. It looks so fucking creepy. It basically looks like a zombie shark. And obviously your movie has reminded me of this. But it is creepy as fuck. But they got this shark out again. They put him in a safer material to keep his body from decomposing. And they fixed his dorsal fin and whatever other fins were deteriorating. And I'm like, why don't we just put this shark to rest? Why are we keeping this body of a shark that is so hard to maintain? They're almost done remaking this shark or fixing him up, but you have to see the pictures of him. Oh, and there's a picture of one of the scientists that are working on fixing one of his fins, and he's in the water that the shark's in or the material, and it looks creepy as fuck. Yeah, it looks like Neptune. Like, at any minute, this shark could turn around and fucking eat you.
You just described the shark equivalent of the Tarman zombie.
Yes!
Just imagine, yes! Like, you know, the fumes coming out and, like, you know, it worms its way out of there. It's no. I'm not about this at all. You don't need to combine Shark Week with Zombie Week. Mm-mm. And then make it, you know, make that whole situation.
Oh, my God. It was such, oh, God. I love my 3 a.m. adventures sometimes.
I'm glad that you could enjoy those, because, you know, that you realize the only reason you're waking up at that time is probably because you have low blood sugar. So,
yeah, I mean, I can see my pump, so I don't see that I'm low, but, you know, whatever. Tomato, potato.
There has to be some sugar-related reason why you're waking up at that time. Just saying.
Actually, they what I was reading about very recently is that at 3 a.m., of course, is that it's cortisol levels and basically the perimenopause.
That would make sense too, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and cortisol is the stress hormone. And I'm like, well, how do I not stress?
Well, there's some theory too that, like, people naturally woke up at 3 a.m. because that's when most of the predators were out. So, you know, there's that whole discussion on why the witching hour is what it is, because the human body still thinks, you know, it's like, well, you're surrounded by predators, so if you don't wake up at 3 a.m. and look around, you'll probably be eaten.
I believe it.
Anyways, folks, if you're still with us after all that discussion, we will be discussing Paranorman and then go on to, like we said, the Lucio Fulci movies, and then cover Black Friday, which is a interesting take on zombies. More of a – they're aliens, right, in that movie? I want to say that they are. They're like – they're alien – there's an alien cause for the zombies in that movie.
Which one?
Black Friday. I'm pretty sure
it's I'm pretty sure it's an alien one.
Which is going to be interesting after you sat there and said that, like, you know, alien, you know, controlled zombies are not necessarily real zombies. See if you still hold that in that movie, but we'll get to that when we get to it.
We shall see.
Anyways, folks, with that, peace be with you.
And with your spirit.